Yes, number 8229.
Mr. Collins, tape 7. Mr. Collins, did the Germans have anything like our tanks? Did you come up against German tanks?
Well, the only German tanks I ever seen were that one in Ivewood when I was in the infantry. And there wasn't supposed to be a out then the tanks want. Those two tanks as I've got there, I didn't see either of those, you know.
Our tanks
But
were you
those tanks were the first tanks to be captured.
Yes, they're the pictures you have of them.
Yes.
Yes. Do you think that our tanks, the tanks we had, the British had, were used effectively by the
Oh, bless you,
commanders
yes.
all the
They,
time?
and no, I think that I think that there was a lot of bad management the battles that they should have gone in. Oh, you see that. I didn't get to know enough about it. You see, the Germans were very good at preparing, you know. They always got everything unpacked, which sometimes come off. Where if, say, a bombardment, you see, they'd perhaps bombard you all night. Yes, and you'd think they were going to finish, but they'd keep on the next morning. You see, you never knowed. And then perhaps they wouldn't. They'd come up, they'd say, here they are, and of course, it all depends on what condition you're in. We was always ready with the machine. That's the reason you got out of the machine, always. And that would, of course, the Bren, that was a new gun that come out, you know. The Bren did. The Bren gun, that wasn't so much trouble.
About the this was a new improved gun, was it, the
Yes, a
Bren?
Bren gun. And you see, of course, the Lewis gun was a much faster than the German gun. The Germans' machine guns, well, I should say they're more reliable, but they're slower. You'd hear a machine gun, pop, 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 pop. Now you'd hear a British machine gun go, brrrr. See the difference, you see? That's how the Germans, and they used to had different bombs to us. They used to have like a tin can on it with a handle, what they threw. And they used to have little tiny ones, about as big as twice as big as a walnut, and I could throw them, you know, and they'd blow it, do a bit of damage. But the high velocity shells I had, no sooner had gone, you'd hear the bang and it was there. That was an high velocity shell. No sooner you heard the bang and it was there. When we was in boats, when I left on Christmas Day, there was a battery of guns, about half a mile, I should think, from a battery of 60 pounders. And whenever we was in these boats at Mamet's Wood, that was another Somme Wood, that was Devil's Wood, Trones Wood. And they were in Albert's, you know, in the church. And when I joined there, I got the statue of the Mary on the cross, you know, on the church. A shell had hit that, and it fell like that and was hanging like that.
The German use of very lights, did you notice any anything special with that? Were they very effective?
I knew that the German Very Lights were superior to ours because, you see, they was opposite us, and I used to see theirs as well as ours. But theirs was much better than ours. He was in the darkness, and then suddenly they'd fire them, you know, and they used to burst like these into beautiful lights, and you could see everything. But if you stood still, they couldn't see you if you stood still. But with this man who lost his legs, we could see he hadn't got any legs when they put the lights up, you see. Well, we could see that before that. But he was a martyr. Eventually we did get to him after a struggle.
This is when you were going after the wounded men, is that right, in the trenches?
Yes, when we volunteered to go to the trenches to get the wounded out. Who had been in there 3 days or 4 days. And as I said, we eventually got there. And the first man, we rolled into the trench. And, of course, it was night time. You couldn't do anything like that in the daytime, you see. It was night time, and we waited for the Very Lights to go up, and there we were. And we could see this man's face as well, and as he pointed down the trench, leave me, he says. And he emphasised it. And so we went to the next man.
What was wrong with that man?
His legs were gone. He hadn't got any legs at all. And this man, we got on a stretcher. He got a bullet in his leg. And he'd also got one in his eye. Or a wound in his eye or something. I couldn't see properly, but he was such a heavy man. It took 4 hours to carry him. And, you know, I'd absolutely exhausted. But we got him out, and we went back to this first man, stretcher bear, said, we'd had to go and look at the old fella. We went and he was dead. He said he's done. So he looks to me as if he's just hanging on to. But he try and imagine a man without any legs like that. But anyway, we carried on, and we eventually, after walking with this man for such a long time, it seemed, we come to an advanced dressing station, as I was told to be before. And just as the dawn was breaking, and we took him in to this here, and they took him in, and now the surgeons are working there. Brave men. Sometimes, you know, they used to have little railway roads when there was a big push on or anything like that, little railway, and they used to have some wagons, and they could put the wounded in these wagons and get them down the line like that. But of course, that was always a risk because they used to shell so much, they used to break them up. But they used to use these and perhaps get a lot of wounded away like that, where they couldn't carry them. quicker. And my one of my pals, you know, his name was Pop Clark. He was with me in the North Hants, and he'd been up there 12 months, and he went on leave, and he'd come and see me, and he said, "Freddie, I'm going home on leave." So he said, "I can't stop because they're waiting for me." And I said, "Pop and see Mum then." So he said, "Oh, okay." And, you know, he come back a fortnight after. He got a great parcel like that. He carried all his own kit, and he brought me a big parcel back like that. You know, that sort of pal you want, isn't it? He's a grand chap. He got killed. A Russian man. He got killed with another Russian man, both of them. While the other one died at ETAPS. A trench mortar. They used to be terrible things, you know, trench mortars. They used to be like these cement machines, fire a great shell. Used to break up and give terrible wounds. I used to use them in wet weather a lot. That was always a danger. You know, when we used to go up the trenches, when it was cold, these sharp frosty nights, you used to have a blanket and an overcoat, and you were going to be there. And if, say, you went in the trenches about 6-7 o'clock time, and you've got to be there like perhaps for a couple of days, because you couldn't stand it no longer, you know. They used to come round about 10 o'clock, and they used to give you 5 tablespoons full of rum. the tablespoons full. Well, it was so bitter cold. They used to have it that bitter cold. And then we had this rum, and it was beautiful. But it was so cold, it wore off you. It wore off you in about 10 minutes. But anyway, sometime in the night, they used to come round again. They used to have a big flask on the back with hot cocoa, beautiful hot cocoa. And he used to have a nozzle on it, you see. And he'd say, "Canteen's aboard." And he used to go, we used to go to the canteen, and he'd turn the tap on and fill your Dixie, you know, with the hot cocoa, beautiful hot cocoa. This only happened occasionally, you know, wasn't a regular performance, but we were happy when we did get it. Lovely.
Could I ask you now, you mentioned earlier that the cavalry wasn't being used so much, you know, how inappropriate it was in the First World War. Do you think that the tank, your tanks, took the place of the cavalry?
Yes, I do. Because that was more suitable, weren't they? What's your chance a horse got against a machine gun?
Did you tank men? Did you feel that you were in the sort of vanguard of modern warfare?
Yes.
Did you have this sense of...
Yes, we did. And that's the reason they used to treat us like that, you see. They used to treat us... We used to have the concert party, and we used to have some of the tank crews. They were good turns and that. You see, you was thought that bit more of. I don't say you were any better fighter than the... But the endurance of being in a tank for so long, and you always that risk of a shell or and later a bullet. You see, as I advanced, I got these anti-tank bullets that went right through. You see, I fired one, two of them through that bandage.
Did you have any protective clothing to wear?
No, we just had... It was so hot. We didn't have anything on, only brown overalls and a revolver. We had a belt here. Haven't you seen these photos?
Well, yes, I have. Yes, I have.
Have you?
Yes.
A new revolver. New ammunition, you see. And that's how we were.
Well, Mr. Collins, you've given us a very good account, and thank you very much indeed.
Well, you were quite welcome, my dear.